The epistle for this second Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Dearly beloved, do not wonder if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that does not love abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in himself. In this we have known the charity of God, because he has laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He that has the substance of this world and shall see his brother in need and shall shut up his bowels from him, how does the charity of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees this parable. A certain man made a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servant at the hour of the supper to say to them that were invited that they should come, for now all things are ready. And they began all at once to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a farm, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to try them. I pray thee, hold me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant returning told these things to his lord. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the feeble and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said to the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. But I say to you that none of these men that were invited shall taste of my supper. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear faithful, we Catholics believe that at every Mass, our Lord Jesus Christ becomes really present on the altar, that when the priest pronounces the words of consecration, the entire substance of bread and the entire substance of wine becomes the whole substance of Jesus Christ in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is one of the truths of the faith that we believe, and so it's also one of the mysteries of our faith. And when it comes to these mysteries, we have a duty not just to profess the mysteries, but also to seek to understand them. We must not only believe them, we also must contemplate them so that they become fruitful for us as Catholics. And today, because we just had the Feast of Corpus Christi, and also because the Gospel of today concerns the Blessed Sacrament, we must try to understand this mystery of the Blessed Sacrament more deeply. But we're not going to do this by looking directly at the mystery of the Blessed Sacrament. If you wanted to know something about the Son, and you tried to look directly at the Son in order to learn something about it, you would quickly become blinded. Your eyes would be burned out, and you would lose your sight because it's too powerful for our eyes. And something is similar for our human minds when we try to look at the mysteries of the faith, at least look directly at them. They're too luminous for our limited minds. And because of that, we cannot see deeply into them just looking at them directly. And so the best thing for us to do is to look at reflections of the mystery, to use analogies from the created things we see around us in order to understand the mystery itself. This is something like looking at the light of the moon in order to understand what the sun is. And in this case today, in order to understand this wonderful mystery of the Holy Eucharist, I want to look at she who is beautiful as the moon, Our Lady. And by looking at Our Lady, understand something about the Blessed Sacrament. We all know that Our Lady is the one who vanquishes all heresies. This is one of the sayings we have in our faith, that Our Lady vanquishes all heresies. And by that, we simply mean that if someone professes all the truths about the Blessed Virgin Mary, then logically they will refuse all heresies. necessarily, if you believe all the things that you are to believe about Our Lady, then you will, by default, by the fact that you do that, reject all heresies that are against the faith. But this saying that Our Lady is the vanquisher of heresies has a flip side. So if that's on the negative side, that believing everything about her will make you reject all heresies, also believing everything about her will help you deepen your understanding of all the mysteries of the faith. So I hope that an example of this will become evident today when we think about Our Lady in order to understand better the Blessed Eucharist. What we want to understand is the purpose and the power of the Blessed Sacrament as instituted by our Lord. And to do this, what I want to do is think about Jesus living in Mary. This was a favorite subject of contemplation of St. Louis de Montfort, and this is how we're going to learn something about the Blessed Sacrament, because of the fact that Our Lady was the first communicant. She was the first one to commune with God in the most intimate way possible on this earth by having God incarnate inside of her. How is she able to do this? How is she able to have God incarnate inside of her? Well, she was able to do it, first of all, by her submission to the will of God. She had to be willing to cooperate with God's designs for her in order for her to achieve this communion. She called herself the servant of God and asked that God do to her whatever He will to do. And it was only then, when she said this, that Jesus began living in Mary. It was then that He entered into her womb and she began her first communion. And I think this is the first lesson that Our Lady teaches us about the Blessed Sacrament. On the one hand, it's clear from the story of the Annunciation that God wants to come inside of us. Our Lord wants to come inside of us. On the other hand, it's clear that it doesn't happen automatically. We have something to do in order to achieve this communion, this union with our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be conformed to His will in order to achieve the communion that our Lord desires. The very reason the Blessed Sacrament exists, the very reason that our Lord instituted it, is so that He can come inside of us. This is what He wants. This is what He desires. But we have to want Him to come. And by that, I mean that we must want Him to do with us whatever He wills. To have this same disposition that Our Lady had when she said, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." We obviously know that our Lord cannot come to us if we are in the state of mortal sin. There's no communion possible between Him and a soul that is in mortal sin. You cannot be both with our Lord and against our Lord at the same time. It's a contradiction. It's an impossibility. And for that reason, a sacrilegious communion is not a communion at all. There is no communing between our Lord and someone in the state of mortal sin. It's not a union of a soul with our Lord. It's a cutting off of our soul from our Lord. So that is the first lesson that Our Lady teaches us about the Blessed Sacrament. Our Lord very much wants to come to us. I mean, that's why He instituted the Blessed Sacrament. But we also must want Him to come for there to be any communion, for there to be any union between us and Him, for us to achieve the very purpose for which the Blessed Sacrament was instituted. But Our Lady does not only teach us why our Lord comes and how to receive Him, she also teaches us how to receive Him perfectly. At the beginning of his book, True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort speaks of Our Lady as the masterpiece of the Blessed Trinity, such that the Trinity dwells in Our Lady more fully than anywhere else in all of reality. He says the Blessed Trinity reserved the knowledge and the possession of Our Lady to Himself, that Our Lady is the sealed garden that is spoken of in the Canticle of Canticles, that the only one who has entrance into this garden is the Holy Ghost, that she is the sanctuary of the Blessed Trinity, that God dwells more magnificently and divinely in Our Lady than anywhere else in the universe, including in the midst of the cherubim and the seraphim. If we think of God, the Trinity, in heaven, dwelling in glory in the midst of all the angels, St. Louis says, yet He dwells even more magnificently in the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is such a striking thought from the pen of St. Louis de Montfort, that God dwells more magnificently in Our Lady than He dwells anywhere else in reality. That Our Lady is the place where God's kingdom has come and where His will is done more than any other place whatsoever. This is such a striking thought, and I think this is the thought that should be on our mind when we think of Jesus living in Mary, when we think of her communion with our Lord. That communion that exists between her and God is the most perfect communion possible between a creature and her Creator. That no greater union has been achieved between creature and Creator than that which takes place between our Lord and Our Lady. The lesson that this teaches us is, I think, a very important lesson about our own communions. I mean, all of us Catholics, we've been to communion so many times. Perhaps some of us have the grace of going to Mass throughout the week. Hopefully we all go to Mass every Sunday, and we go to Mass during the week a few times. And yet we don't see that exponential growth in holiness that we might expect. We believe that we're truly receiving God Himself in Holy Communion. He has infinite power. He has the power to transform me, and yet I receive communion time and again. And I'm not as holy as I should be. I'm yet still so far from our Lord. How can I receive Holy Communion as often as I do, and yet I'm not nearly as close to God as Our Lady? And the answer has to be that we're not giving ourselves to our Lord to the same degree that Our Lady gave herself to our Lord in her communion, in her first communion, in her second communion, in all of her communions. If our Lord gave Himself so completely to Our Lady in her communion, it was because she submitted herself so completely to Him. This is where this parable, today's gospel, comes in. It's a parable about people who don't have time for God. He's inviting them to the banquet, and the banquet is always a symbol of the Blessed Sacrament. And people just don't have time for it. They're so distracted by worldly things. So what I mean is that when Our Lady received Holy Communion, when she received our Lord into her womb, first of all, and then after our Lord's ascension, she attended Mass and received her Holy Communion, she submitted herself entirely to Him. When she received her first communion, her mind was thinking about our Lord. Whereas when we go to communion, our mind is often thinking about something else. When Our Lady received our Lord, she was desiring our Lord with her whole heart, with her whole will. She wanted our Lord. Whereas when we receive our Lord, we're often desiring many things other than our Lord. When Our Lady received our Lord, her emotions were calm. She was not being troubled by fear, by hatred, anger, lust, greed, whatever. Her emotions were at peace. Her soul was in a state of calm. Whereas when we receive our Lord, our emotions are often greatly troubled. We are afraid, we are angry, we're bored, we're sensual, we're anxious, or whatever. So there's this disconnect between us and our Lord Jesus Christ when we receive Him in this most intimate time. And we don't make a Thanksgiving. We don't have time for Him even when we come to Mass. We find it so difficult to focus on our Lord even at that moment of Mass when we receive Him in Holy Communion. This is why St. Louis, he recommends that we make our communion with the assistance of Our Lady. At the end of his book, he has certain recommendations about how to go about receiving communion. And he says, before you receive communion, you should ask Our Lady to lend you her heart. Please give me your heart so that I can receive Him with the same dispositions that you have. And then when our Lord comes, he suggests, and this is just one of the methods, he says, we should present our Lord to Our Lady, give our Lord to Our Lady, and ask her to give Him all the homage, the love, and attention that we lack because we are so distracted in our thoughts and desires, that she make up for our lack of interest in our Lord. This is the spirit of that prayer that St. Louis de Montfort loved so much, the prayer Jesus Living in Mary. He did not compose this prayer. It was composed by Father Jean-Jacques Olier, who was the founder of that famous seminary in Paris, the seminary of Saint-Sulpice, which St. Louis de Montfort attended. So Father Olier was a great restorer of the Catholic priesthood, in the 1500s. So, this prayer, Jesus Living in Mary, which you can find at the end of the Book of True Devotion to Mary, addresses our Lord living in the womb of Our Lady and asks our Lord to accomplish everything in us. This prayer has that disposition where we receive Holy Communion and we want Him to transform us. We want to submit ourselves entirely to Him. Be it done unto me according to your will. Do what you will with me. Transform me. O Jesus, living in Mary, come and live in me, in the spirit of thy holiness, in the plenitude of thy gifts, in the perfection of thy ways, in the truth of thy virtues, and in communion with thy mysteries. Reign in me, against all my menacing enemies, against the world, the flesh, and the devil, by the power of thy Holy Ghost, and for the glory of thy Father. Amen. Come with your gifts to strengthen me, to sanctify me on the one hand. Come on the other hand to reign in me, to reject from me everything that separates me from you. This is what we must want with all our heart when we receive Holy Communion, to have this great desire to really commune with our Lord Jesus Christ, to invite our Lord to come and live in us, to reign in us with His gifts, to destroy the world, the flesh, and the devil in us. And if we can receive communion thinking about our Lord, desiring our Lord, submitting to our Lord in union with Our Lady, then we will definitely become much holier in our communions. And I think this is the second lesson that Our Lady teaches us. We look at the way she received our Lord, and we try to imitate that in order to become holy. And when I was thinking about these things, I could not help but reflect and think, well, what about Our Lady right now? I mean, right now, she's not receiving communion anymore. Right now, she's in heaven. And does that make her in a less advantageous situation than when she was here on earth? Are we better off than she is because we're able to receive communion on this earth and she's no longer able to receive communion? Well, of course not. Of course she's not in a less advantageous situation than we are. And I think this reflection teaches us a third and a final lesson. The fact that today in heaven, Our Lady has an even more perfect communion with God than what she had here on earth. That she's even closer to her Son in heaven than she was on earth because she now possesses the beatific vision. And this reflection, what this teaches me, is the purpose of the Blessed Sacrament. The reason why we receive the Blessed Sacrament on this earth is precisely to prepare us for that very intimate union that we are to have with God for all eternity. Our Lord comes to us physically in this on this earth in His body, blood, soul, and divinity to get us ready for this intimate union that is to take place forever in heaven. He comes physically into our bodies while we are living this life. After this life, He becomes the form, the very form of our intellect. God, as it were, enters our very soul and dwells there in the most intimate manner possible, a manner that far exceeds the capacity of our limited human nature. This is why the Ecce Panis Angelorum, this hymn of St. Thomas, says that the bread of angels became the bread of men. The bread of angels is the beatific vision. It's the angels contemplating God. The bread of men is God coming on earth and entering into us. So what the angels are feeding on in heaven, the presence of God, the very presence of God now comes on earth and comes inside of us. This is why Archbishop Lefebvre says that receiving Holy Communion is, in a sense, receiving heaven itself. God is heaven, says the Archbishop. Jesus Christ is God. So when we receive God in our hearts, we can say in all truth, I have heaven in my soul. I have paradise in my soul. We should be united to that paradise in such a way that we prepare the paradise of forever. We receive heaven here on earth to get ready for heaven after this life is over. Our Lord invents this Blessed Sacrament so that He can come to you on this earth in a way that is similar to the way that God comes to you in heaven. And so if we want heaven, if we want to possess God forever in perfect happiness, we have to make good communions like the communions of Our Lady. She teaches us so much about the Blessed Sacrament. She shows us that the Blessed Sacrament exists because our Lord wants to come to us, but that we have to want to do His will if we are to enter into communion with Him. She shows us the most perfect way to receive Him is to think about Him and love Him with our whole mind, our whole heart, and our whole strength at the time of communion. That is how communion makes us holy. And she shows us that He is coming to us to get us ready for heaven. He is dwelling with us on this earth as an anticipation of us dwelling with Him in heaven. So, my dear faithful, let us ask Our Lady for this very great grace, that she may accompany us in all of our communions, that she may make our communions very fruitful, and so that Jesus may live in us in the same way that He lived and is still living in her. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.